Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State, Spokane Valley. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, and about having the spine to stand for what's right, no matter what comes at you. Because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. As Luke 17, 20 through 21 says, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." I talked about Psalm 91 last week a little bit, but also I want to share a story from a friend of mine. And it's a powerful story. I'm not going to use his name over the air, but it is a powerful, powerful story about how socialism operates. As we've talked about on the show before, they will project onto you how they are themselves. I'm going to go through a bit of that just so that we're clear, because the media is trying to ignore reality. They're trying to create an alternate reality that not only doesn't exist, it ignores what's already been done and said by folks like me and or introduced into evidence in major counterterrorism investigations. And so I think it's important to walk through some of this, but I want to first start with this story from my friend. I have a lot of acquaintances and a lot of friends and a lot of family that lived in the former Soviet Union. As many of you have heard me say on this show about what happened to my now deceased father-in-law, during World War II, he was actually challenged by some Nazi sympathizers. They came to steal the family cow. He put up a fight with a wooden pitchfork, fought them off, and the actual Nazis came back and arrested him and put him into slave labor for years. He eventually made it back home. They left the cow with the family. The family survived the war. It's quite a tale of courage for back then. A lot of people think, you know, that's just old history, but it's important because when people call us, who are Christians and patriots, Nazis, National Socialists, they have no idea what that means, and especially how offensive saying something like that is to people whose family has actually endured persecution at the hands of actual Nazis, okay? And they don't understand the fact that it's National Socialism. They keep trying to reinvent history. But the fact of the matter is, it was a socialist movement. Bringing us to modern times, there's a friend of mine who lived in Ukraine, and he, at the time, was a youth pastor. He actually had six little kids at the time. His wife, just a true saint of a lady, just a wonderful, wonderful woman. Just the greatest hospitality and always in good cheer when you come over and visit, or when they come over and visit you. Well, anyway, he was in the Ukraine. He was a youth pastor. So the KGB comes to him one day and they say, "You need to sign this." And they push a piece of paper across, effectively making him deny his faith and or become an informant for the KGB. Well, he says no. So they say, "Well, we'd like you to reconsider." And they proceed to lock the door to the room for 2 hours so he can think about it. Well, they come back and he says to them, "Look, I already made my mind up 2 hours ago." So the KGB says to him, "Well, then you're headed in the wrong direction, and we're going to have to begin criminal proceedings against you." And here are the proceedings. It's important to understand that if you talked to a Soviet communist back in the day, they would say, oh, there's religious freedom. It's actually written into the Soviet Constitution. There's religious freedom. Article 124 actually has the idea of separation of church and state, at least in the 1936 Soviet Constitution, which many believe that the Supreme Court may have borrowed from that idea in eviscerating prayer in schools. Totally separate subject about what evidence would support that and what would not. But the fact of the matter is, if you talk to a communist back in that time, they would say to you, no, no, there's religious freedom. There is. There's totally religious freedom. And so how did they persecute Christians in that day? Couple of three things that are pretty key. Number one, they said that Christians, if they believed the Bible meant what it said, had a mental disorder. Okay, that was a socialist, that was a Marxist, a communist tactic. Okay, they had a mental disorder. They would try to put them into mental health facilities and quite literally try to make them crazy by putting them into the facilities. Second thing that they would do is claim a violation of one of the work laws. So, for example, on Sunday, they would have a work party, and, well, Christians are at church, they're not working on Sunday, so all the people that didn't show up, you know, they actually get in trouble for not being a part of the work party on Sunday. Not because they were Christians, of course, even though that's exactly what it was aimed at. They also would say to Christians, you can't go to higher education. A lot of cases, you couldn't hold a job. And then if you didn't hold a job for a certain period of time, you were subverting the state because you weren't working, and then they would go after them for that. Well, another thing that they would target Christians, this is the third thing. They would target Christians by saying that Christians, and this is key, I want you to hear the wording of this, would teach the youth in such a way as to undermine the state. They would subvert the youth. They would use that term. And so my friend was effectively having these criminal proceedings go against him, not because he was a Christian, of course, because they didn't go directly at that. But what they said is he was teaching the youth ideas that were undermining the state. He was being a domestic terrorist for what he believed and what he was teaching the youth because he was a Christian. Boy, does that sound familiar today. Because there is nothing new under the sun. Now, the rest of the story is very simple. There's perestroika. Things started to open up. The criminal proceedings languished. He had an opportunity to come to the United States. And so he applied to do that. KGB calls him back in and says, hey, we know what you're doing. We know you're trying to get out of here. Took his passports and said, you have 24 hours to leave the country. With six little kids, mind you. He had no idea this was coming. Six little kids. So he had to run home, quite literally. They packed everything that they had they could take, and they took a train to Czechoslovakia. Then that train stopped. They were there. They went to Austria, then to Italy, and then finally to the United States of America. But one of the interesting things KGB said was, we're always going to be watching you. And he did face some trouble from them here, even in this country. My point in bringing this up is, anytime you hear these same tactics, these same phrases being used against people here in the United States, you know what the issue is. Because the issue to the left is never the issue. Right, you got to look deeper. You got to go behind the scenes, get the news behind the news. The issue really is what we believe. And what we're beginning to see is actual persecution here in the United States of America for what we believe. It's interesting that some folks talking to me the other day were saying about this House investigation, it's not about your beliefs, and then proceeded to ask me all about my beliefs. So which is it, right? Logically, you can't do that. Because it exactly is about beliefs. And the fact of the matter, too, is we have a lot of people who have never read the Bible, let alone, you know, done exposition and studies into the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic in the context, the historical context of the time, the context of the passage itself, let alone read the Constitution of the United States or the state constitution. No, most people don't even know the word militia is in the state constitution, able-bodied males, I think between ages 18 and 45. It's written into the Constitution. It's the definition of the Constitution. And people hear that word and they get all, it's in the Constitution, for goodness sakes. And so what we have is intellectually lazy, unread, and in a lot of ways, philosophically and theologically illiterate people that you can't even really have a conversation with them because they don't have a base from which to have the discussion. And I know a lot of you out there in Patriot Radio Land, you've had this frustration talking with people. So I want to go through a couple more things very quickly because the media acts like the Holy Land Foundation trial never happened, okay? Never happened. And it's important that we know what happened and what was introduced into evidence in that trial because it laid the groundwork for understanding where we are today in combating the Muslim Brotherhood in America. So, long story short, in the Holy Land Foundation trial, entered into evidence was a document that was part of a 1991 conversation. But this is a couple decades later. And it laid out the mission of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. And here's what it said, quote, "The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means." Okay, so what does jihad mean? Well, according to Reliance of the Traveler, the foremost law book in Sunni Islam, it means warfare against non-Muslims. Okay, so a civilization warfare against non-Muslims process with all the word means. Okay, the Muslim Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad or grand warfare against non-Muslims in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers. Okay? Stated mission. And people are acting like this doesn't exist. Like the Holy Land Foundation trial never happened. Like this was never entered into evidence. Like some of this stuff was never taken up on appeal and upheld. They're acting like that doesn't exist, and yet it does. Even more interesting was this world underground movement plan that was also part of this whole discovery in a secret sub-basement of the Muslim Brotherhood archives in America that listed out the phases of the movement plan for the Muslim Brotherhood. This is phase one, discreet and secret establishment of elite leadership. I mean, that sounds like a deep state to me. Phase two, gradual appearance on the public scene. Phase three, escalation using the media. Phase four, open public confrontation with the government. Okay. Open public confrontation with the government through exercising the political pressure approach. What are we seeing happen today? And it's interesting, under that phase four, as part of this World Underground Movement plan, it says this, quote, "training on the use of weapons domestically and overseas in anticipation of zero hour," end quote. What is zero hour? That's a military term for the start of violence in this country. So it's interesting that people in middle America who are teaching their kids firearm safety, making sure they're fit, doing airsoft wars or paintball or whatever, They try to turn that into a camp when it's not a camp, A. And B, it's actually being projected onto us how they are themselves. Again, it's very interesting. You can read this online. You can just look up World Underground Movement Plan. Nobody of rational mind is going to dispute the Holy Land Foundation trial. But what the media does try to do is they try to turn it, they try to spin it into something that it's not. And for my part, look, this has been 12 years of attacks every year. They come up with something new every year. And there are Republicans who are acting like this is something new, and it's not. It's been happening every year for 12 years, completely refuted every year for 12 years, and yet they're acting like this is new because they don't understand the times that we're in. They don't understand these primary source documents because they've never read them, about what is happening in this country. And I'm going to get to a couple specific examples recently, and you probably haven't even heard of this on the mainstream media, even though it's been well documented. So that's the briefing, that's that part of it. Now I'm going to move to the Daily Intelligence briefing. So Kashmir autonomy was removed. Some power has now been restored to places there, so we're going to keep our eyes on that. Death squads now in Venezuela using, by the way, arms that were confiscated originally by the people, that were owned by the people and confiscated by the government. And it really seems like there's this push to turn Washington State into Venezuela. My goodness gracious. Look at socialism failing again. All right, also on the international front, got a very interesting development. This is coming to us from Deb Kafail. Russia and Turkey almost had a dogfight with two of their it might have been more than two of their aircraft over northern Syria. And Erdogan has now defied Putin directly. As the Syrian army advanced against rebel forces in the key southern town of Khan Sheikhoun, Turkish Air Force F-16 fighters on Tuesday flew over the battle scene, causing Russian Su-35 fighters at the nearby airbase of Latakia to scramble in response. And they warned the Turkish pilots to withdraw or be shot down. I want you to understand this. It was finally de-escalated, but Turkey's a NATO ally. If Russia attacked Turkey and Turkey invoked the NATO treaty, we'd be at war. I mean, that's how close this thing is over there right now. Also, on the national front, out of China, the United States has now cleared the sale of F-16 jets to Taiwan, $8 billion, and the first warplane deal since the 1990s regarding Taiwan. Obviously, Trump is positioning things. On the national front, Jay Inslee, dropped out of the 2020 presidential race because he knew he didn't have a shot at winning. Well, that was actually before he went into the presidential race. Now, it looks like he may go for a third term here in Washington State. Oh, boy. Also, I want to highlight something else just by Jay Inslee called Trump a white nationalist, okay? He also said, quote, Trump was, they questioned Trump's fitness for office, like CNN and some of these other ones. So these terms sound familiar to you? Trump's not fit for office. Trump's a white nationalist, right? Here's what's going on. These folks are so out of touch, and unfortunately, it does include some Republicans. I mean, shoot, we have Republicans here in Spokane County who are doorbelling for Democrats. People are like, oh, no, they're not Democrats or conservatives. Yeah, really? Well, one of them ran against me in the first race, Tim Hattenberg. My very first race as a Democrat. Some have repeatedly donated to Democrats and had Democrats donate to them. Don't give me that. Truth is truth here. But it's interesting they're using the same terms against Trump that you see here locally against yours truly. Very interesting. I think there might be an agenda. All right. And also, along that line, very briefly, along that line, when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the loser. That's just what happens. And somebody's like, you need to put out what you believe. I did last November. I have consistently and unequivocally condemned racism, anti-Semitism, white nationalism, do so again here and now. We need to promote Jesus Christ and love. Okay, I put that out. Apparently, you know, people are like, well, you need to do it so more publicly. Well, the stuff that we have put out, the media won't print. They won't cover it. Just like something I'm going to get to here in a second that the media refused to cover, interestingly. I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, I need to put more information out, and, you know, and then the media doesn't put anything out. Give me a break. And then when you try to give the media stuff, then they twist it too. All right, also on the national front, the Democrats plan to nationalize land. It's on Forbes.com. It's on Patriot Radio's on the Facebook page. Take a look at it. This article is pretty insane, how they want to use grants to effectively lock up land in the Western United States. Also on the national front, I think it's important to make sure that we don't get distracted by certain things because they're trying to sneak something that, you know, hey, look over here, trying to sneak something out, you know, the other way. Well, one of those things I believe is something called universal background checks. Now, that's happened already in Washington, but it's spreading across the country. And the entire intent of universal background checks is to create a de facto registry. They'll never call it a registry, but if you ask them the question in committee, how are you going to keep track that the background checks were actually done? And the form, by the way, lists the serial number of the gun that's been transferred. Okay. They will always have to say, well, we have a record of that. Well, that's a de facto registry. You have a registry because you got the name and you've got the serial number of the gun. So New American had a great article out on that, thenewamerican.com. You can check that out as well. I think that's pretty important to understand that a lot of this stuff may be a distraction from what they're actually trying to do. All right, also on the national front, and this is a very interesting story. I'm going to try to get a little bit more information about this, but there's a video online that is talking about an attempted stabbing by Antifa and of a U.S. military veteran, actually. I was looking at it right before the show, and it looks very compelling. So I'm going to continue to look into that. But this is something, again, that it seems like there's a double standard. Antifa never gets investigated, or elected officials in downtown Seattle that have direct ties with Antifa never gets investigated. And this common theme that we've now seen about, you know, the Dayton shooter had in his crazy journal about hunting humans, and then you had this movie that they finally did pull about hunting humans. Also, on the national front, a great op-ed, and you can read about it in the New American, calling the Southern Poverty Law Center to task. And actually, this was originally published in USA Today, if you can believe it. Jessica Pearl Smith, former writer and editor for Family Research Council, who is now a senior news writer and editor for the Alliance Defending Freedom. And she describes her memory of the attempted mass murder that happened at FRC because of what the Southern Poverty Law Center put out there. And I think this is an important thing because the media is demonizing folks, and it is resulting in death threats. And the self-proclaimed informants that are out there as well. All right, I want to quickly go down to another thing that's happening here locally. It actually happened this week. There's a lot of stuff out in the media right now, and it's interesting that they didn't cover my annual Freedom fundraiser, which was the largest one that I've ever had. More people than we've ever had, more money even than we ever had. It was a great blessing by the Lord. And it really was a stinging rebuke. We had the fundraiser on Tuesday, a stinging rebuke of what these guys are trying to do here locally. Then yesterday, the church at Planned Parenthood had hundreds of people there. And I was just so honored by Activist Mommy. She was on the show last week. Fantastic lady, Elizabeth Johnson. So she's just awesome. And she actually had the crowd pray for me. And all praise and glory to God. It was fantastic. But you can see the shift in the spirit just because Christians have finally shown up and finally stood on the line. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and Victoria and the show. If you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you want to keep me on the air, go to Voce.com. Remember also that Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. There's a couple new stations out there as well. So check on my LinkedIn page, and I have those stations listed. All right. Well, my guest today is once again my very good friend, Pastor Rusty Thomas, who actually earned, we actually gave the award the other night, the Patriot Pastor of the Year. Rusty Thomas with Operation Save America. How are you doing? It's great to have you on.
Brother Matt, good to hear your voice once again, my brother. God bless you.
Well, God bless you too. I know you've been very busy. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come on the radio once again with me. There, it was so powerful having Activist Mommy there right in front of Planned Parenthood. She had just a great testimony. In fact, another lady testified about an abortion she had actually had in that same clinic. These stories are all over America, and they're really, I think, changing the perception among the population that this indeed is murder, and it needs to be stopped.
Well, I tell you, Elizabeth Johnson, her precious family, have been faithful servants of the Lord for years. They have faithfully served with OSA. I mean, their intellect, their commitment to Christ, their talent is, I mean, God deposited a lot in this precious family. And to God be the glory, brother. They have used it to advance his kingdom and cause in the earth. And it really has been an honor to serve with that kind of caliber of family of Christian people who really love the Lord and want to see America be restored in righteousness once again.
It's interesting that the left that showed up, actually, let me be very blunt, the Marxists, because one of them had a sign advocating for socialist revolution. We did get a screen capture or a picture of that. And you really see this, they try to say there's no hate, but really, I mean, you see just Christians out there worshiping, and she was with their whole family, and they're trying to yell and shout them down and everything. It just seems like it's exposing, just standing on the line like that is exposing what's evil and what is good.
It is, brother. And for us as Christians, this should come as no shock or no surprise. Right from the very beginning, we know that the enemy instigated the battle when he tempted and deceived our first parents to betray God. But it was Almighty God who declared war, brother. He said he was going to put enmity between the woman and, of course, the enemy, and between her seed and his seed. But the champion was promised. The great deliverer was promised. And, yeah, you're going to bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your head. And so we have to understand, yes, in the spiritual realm, there's this battle in the heavenlies, and that's where it began. And then it came down on earth, and now it's manifesting between two seeds, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And there is enmity, there's hostility. And we know biblically that those who pursue the Spirit, who seek to obey the Lord, will always be persecuted by those who seek to satisfy their fleshly and lustly desires. And, brother, this is just a part of the battle. And when the church shows up, especially at the gates of hell, where you have the altars of Moloch and the altars of Baal containing the ancient evil of child sacrifice, the shedding of innocent blood, when the church shows up and actually engages, you know, with the weapons of warfare that are not carnal but mighty through God, these things are going to manifest, brothers, and, you know, and so that's what we see happening, you know, all throughout the land, that once the church shows up and she doesn't come alone, she lifts up the holy name of Jesus, she proclaims the gospel of the kingdom, she praises, she worships, she prays, and she ministers, and she opens the door for those who are deceived by the enemy who has come to kill, steal, and destroy to make wise choices, like choose life instead of death, blessing instead of cursing. And so, brother, what we're seeing is literally the battle between two seeds manifesting in this generation, literally at the gates of hell, these Planned Parenthood death camps.
It's interesting. They really don't even shy away from anymore that this is indeed the killing of babies, but they're shifting their argument to, well, you know, this baby is going to grow up in a horrible environment, so you're really dooming them to a horrible and painful life. How could you be so insensitive? So they're not even really arguing anymore as much on that this is the murder of kids. They're just trying to justify why it's necessary. That's appalling. You think about this. I mean, what would the Founding Fathers say if they were sitting here and on this radio show today?
Obviously, brother, they were a different breed of man. They haven't been tamed by this American licentious culture. We have to understand, brother, that, you know, America, we've been feminized, brother, to the max. I mean, we have a feminized church. We got a feminized pulpit. We got a feminized culture. And so, you know, what... You know, previously in generations past, they would simply not have tolerated the things that we have tolerated in our age, and that's part of the problem, brother. Is that, you know, America introduced a new idol to worship, and that is the idol to tolerance. And we know biblically there is a biblical understanding of tolerance, you know, when it comes to Christian charity, but it has turned to something way beyond that, brother. So that was once unspeakable, you know, has become mainstream, and unfortunately, the church has been pacified by this corrupt culture. And honestly, Brother Matt, the church has unfortunately become very morally compromised. So we have sort of lost our righteous indignation against the evil that is savaging this nation.
It does seem that there is quite a bit of the church that's dead, as Elizabeth said the other day, but there's also a great portion of the church waking up, and it was so encouraging to see hundreds of people standing outside of Planned Parenthood right at the gates of hell worshiping and saying, you know, we need to end this, and doing it peacefully. You know, it's interesting, too, that the mainstream media continually tries to twist spiritual warfare into something nefarious— when it's very clear what we're talking about by that.
Yes. Well, you know, because they're not spiritually minded, brother. You know what I'm saying? I could remember one time where we confronted an abortionist at his home, and we cried out to him saying, you know, there's room at the cross for you, sir. All you have to do is repent, you know, and turn from your wicked ways. And there's an abundant pardon for you. There's room at the cross. And I remember we got into the courtroom, and they quote this to the judge, and he said, you see this judge? They want to crucify him. They want to murder him. They want to kill him. And, of course, that fits the media's template that we are the, you know, the evil ones, that we are the domestic terrorists, you know. And so it's kind of like this Orwellian doublespeak, brother. You know what I'm saying? Where we're actually there trying to end the violence that is already there, the evil that's already been established. We're there trying to save lives, but of course, you know, the world system, inspired by the evil one, turns, you know, good into evil, evil into good, and then that evil is codified into law, and then, you know, we wake up in a nation, you know, that's unfortunately gravitating more and more towards Marxism, towards tyranny, and things of this nature, and that's why the involvement of the church is indispensable, to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge and give God a reason to show mercy, you know, to a nation that's literally begging for his judgments, brother.
You know, I've back on that subject of spiritual warfare, I was talking to some a pastor who was in the former Soviet Union, and they would do the same thing. You know, people would say, we're going to have communion in the body and blood of Christ. And there were charges of cannibalism. There were people that, you know, and, you know, were praying and, you know, fighting in the heavenlies and asking for, you know, an angelic host, you know, all this stuff. And they twisted it into nefarious, you know, some sort of nefarious thing, and then used that as an excuse to persecute people.
Well, absolutely, brother. And you know, that's kind of, you know, part and parcel, you know, of the warfare that our Lord, you know, told us that we would be involved in if we were going to pick up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him. You know, all you have to look at is the Apostle Paul, you know, as an example of what Christians endure when they truly, like, you know, truly desire to love, serve, and obey God, you know. And unfortunately, there's a lot of teaching in the body of Christ that I call it sort of the gospel of self-improvement, Matt, you know, where, like, Jesus is just kind of there as an appendage to help us fulfill the American dream. And he may be savior, and we may punch our ticket to get out of hell, but to really love and know and obey him as Lord, buddy, that's missing from a lot of the segment of the church. And we really do have to come to that place. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, and we have to love and serve God out of holy fear and glorify him in our body and our spirit, because they belong to him. And so what we have here, brother, is most people equate God's will in America, especially in Christian churches, with health, wealth, and prosperity. And so we know very little of putting our lives, our family, our future at risk for the cause of Christ. But if you look how Christ himself, the apostles, and the early church, how they advanced his kingdom, it was by sacrificial love. It was literally living out, you know, the no greater love ethic, to lay down your life that others might live. And for some reason, brother, that is missing from a lot of people's experience of those who name the name of Christ. Now, what you're seeing is what you experience is a people at Planned Parenthood who are starting to get it. You know what I mean? They're beginning to, in other words, the salt's coming out of the shaker, the light from under the bushel, and they're coming out of the building, and they're beginning to engage, you know, this corrupt culture, this culture of death. You know what I mean? And of course, they're looking to the very one who can defeat this culture of death and set the captives free. And so, you know, every time the church shows up, brother, there's war in the heavenlies. but strongholds are broken, and eventually we behold and see the salvation of our God, and it's glorious to behold, buddy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's already happening because Christians are showing up. There are states now that are actually looking at, for the first time, many of them, abolishing abortion. Many people didn't think they would ever see that in their lifetime. Some states openly talking about how they could ignore Roe versus Wade. What are you hearing around the country?
Buddy, I will tell you, I've been in this battle for decades now, and I could only see from afar, brother. And God has brought something very near. And I was one of those that I just thought, well, I'll just fight the good fight of faith and trust God. But, you know, would I ever see this thing end in my lifetime? It looked impossible, brother. But I know this, we have definitely turned a corner, Brother Matt. The toothpaste is out of the tube, and what I mean by that, we're bringing something to the table that passes biblical muster, you know, historical muster, constitutional muster, and there's not days that go by where I'm not hearing from pastors, and I'm not hearing from legislators, and I'm not hearing from different offices throughout the land, and brother, this thing is catching on. Eyes are being opened. Hearts are being opened. They see the goodness of it. They see the justice of it. And they're wanting to begin to implement this. What we're seeing, brother, we're seeing sanctuary cities, you know, starting at the local level, at the city level, you know, sanctuary cities for the preborn and sanctuary counties for the preborn, you know, states that are introducing bills of abolition that will no longer regulate baby murder, but actually outlaw it and criminalize it. And again, standing on the solid foundation of the holy commandment of God, thou shalt not murder, and the very Declaration of Independence and the Constitution itself. And so, brother, we finally found what we have been looking for all these years, and it is beginning to gain momentum. It's beginning to be established, and it's just gaining traction, brother, and it's so exciting to see what the Lord is doing in these days.
It is. It has been so encouraging, just so encouraging, that the talk isn't now, should we abolish abortion? It's how do we get it done? You're right. That is a big turning of a corner. But this started in the heavenlies. I mean, this was a spiritual battle from the beginning. And really, there's a change of heart in the church.
Yes, and that's the key, brother. That is the key. And what I'm seeing, Matt, I'm just seeing the Holy Spirit beginning to apprehend and arrest his pastors, his elders, who, quite frankly, have been missing in action. They have been AWOL, you know, and their participation is absolutely essential. If God is going to work through his church to reclaim her, you know, as his tool, his instruments of justice and mercy in the land. And it's beginning to happen, brother. And I tell, like, we're getting ready to go to, like, Boise, Idaho, September 19th to the 22nd. I don't know what your schedule is like, brother, and how far away that is, buddy, but if you can make it on down, I'd like to hug your neck. But, brother, we're going in there, and we already have 8 churches on board with abolition, wow. Brother. 8 pastors, 8 churches who have signed up and said, count us in, we're doing this. And I got to tell you, brother, that's just, I mean, it literally brings tears to my eyes because I'm like, my goodness, they're starting to get it. You know, they're connecting the dots. And I'm telling you, brother, the church, we have no idea who we are, brother. I'm just telling you, it's almost like, if you remember Lion King, you know, remember when, you know, Simba, you know, goes to the pond and whatever that monkey's name was, like, you know, look into the pond, you'll see your father, and all he sees is himself. And then all of a sudden the heavens begin to roll, brother, and Mufasa shows up, and he says to little Simba, well, he's grown Simba, and he says to him, you know, you've forgotten a few things. You've forgotten me, your father. and you have forgotten who you are. And I'm telling you, Simba, you are more than what you have become. And if that ain't a word to the Church of Jesus Christ in America, I don't know what is. But we are more than what we have become in these days. And right now, Matt, people are beginning to awaken. And it is like it's like an awakening, you know. There's an awakening taking place. And we're beginning to come out of our buildings. We're beginning to take our place in this battle. And I'm telling you, brother, you know, Jesus promised, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's why you see such manifestation in the enemy's camp, brother. They're seeing the writing on the wall. They're seeing the stirring of the sleeping giant. She's beginning to awaken and beginning to take her place in the Lord, you know, not just in the church building, but in the land, in their communities, you know, at the gates. And of course, they're going to the gates of the land and they're saying, be thou lifted up so the King of Glory can come back in. And who is this King of Glory? The Lord, who is mighty in battle, brother. So, yes, this thing is on. It is happening, Matt. And we need to encourage it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
You know, we have to win the battle in the spiritual, in both in the heart, but also in the heavenlies. And then politics will follow. It has to be that way.
Absolutely. That's the formula. That's the kingdom way, buddy. And so we've been having the tail wag the dog. We've had the tail wag the dog for a long time, buddy. And that is how God changes men and nations. It's from the bottom up. It's from the inside out, brother. And as the church engages these demonic strongholds. You know, the Bible's clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. As we begin to engage, brother, then what happens is these strongholds start to be broken, you know, and then before we know it, you know, sinners are being converted, death camps are shutting down, you know, bills of abolition go forth, and before we know it, our culture and our government begins to reflect the victory that was won in the heavenlies by the Church of Jesus Christ.
You know, it's going to be at a point where abortion is abolished and people are going to be asking themselves the question, why didn't we do something sooner? Why didn't we do something sooner?
Oh, buddy.
I appreciate what you're doing with OSA. If people want to find out more about Operation Save America, or maybe bring you guys to their city, where can they go, and kind of what are you looking for on the ground in a city so that when OSA shows up?
Well, they can go to our website, operationsaveamerica.org, and they can contact us there. But, brother, when we go into a city, we go to serve the local church. We go to help equip her to fight the battle. So when we come in, brother, we come in as servants. We pour in our experience, our resources, our manpower to build up the local church, to engage the culture of death, and to defeat it and to vanquish this evil from their community. And so when we go in, brother, what we look for is churches that understand the nature of this battle and would receive us, you know, as servants of the Lord and cover us as we go forth in battle, join with our brothers and sisters in the local community. And, of course, our goal is, brother, we don't call people to OSA. We call people to their own backyard and try to help them as much as we can, brother, defeat this evil one and to set the captives free. So, brother, that's how we've rolled for many, many years. And I'm not, you know, the Bible says if you're going to boast, you boast in the Lord, brother. But I am just telling you, there are hundreds and hundreds of death camps that were once operating and are no more because the Lord used this ministry, brother, to equip the church to fight the battle. And we just praise God for all the lives that have been spared, all the souls that have come to Christ, and how much the church has shined for her Lord as this evil has been defeated in their communities.
For pastors that are listening to the show today who are saying, you know, our church doesn't get involved in politics, this really doesn't seem like this is something the church should be involved in. Yeah, we should teach on the fact that, you know, that you are knit together in the womb, because Scripture does say that, but this is really more political. What would be your message to that pastor?
Well, that has been the dilemma, brother, when it comes to the plight of the preborn. You go to the church to advocate, you know, their defense, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the pastors will say that's a political, social issue, and so we're not going to address it. And then, of course, you go to the government, who is responsible, the main government responsible when it comes to the defense of these children. You go to the government, and you plead the case, and they'll pass us off as, you know, religious fanatics. And so, you know, where do you go? Where do you go to defend these children? You know, and so, you know, obviously we've just had to go heavenward, brother, and right, beseech the heavens and cry out to God. And he has heard those prayers, brother, and he's beginning to move, and he's beginning to move on the church house, and he's beginning to move on the state house. And just be honest with you, Matt, we're just seeing the faithfulness of God over a lifetime of service, brother. So all that hard ground, brother, all that plowing, all that sowing, all that watering, you just wake up one day and you find out, you know what? God is true, his word is true, and his promises are sure. Now, they may not happen in the way and the time that you want them to happen, but they do happen, and God is faithful, Brother Matt.
There's no question about it, he is. In the last minute or so that we have, we actually briefly discussed this about, there was an investigation done by the Office of Strategic Services, the precursor to the CIA, following World War II, about how it was possible there could be the Holocaust in an ostensibly Christian country. And they came to the conclusion that it was because the German government successfully deprived the church of living out its Christianity beyond the four walls. What would be your message, not just to the body of Christ, but also to the millennial generation, about getting out there beyond the four walls of the church?
Well, I mean, it's a simple fact of life, brother, that nature abhors a vacuum. And if the church doesn't activate herself as an agent of change, in other words, to be true salt and be true light in the world, someone or something is going to replace her. And we have seen that take place in our nation. And, of course, we see the fruit of it all around us, brother. I mean, quite frankly, this generation, it's scary. It really, really is. When you look at the state of the millennial soul, their mind, their worldview, it's absolutely horrifying to think what is coming on the horizon of this nation, lest God arise through his church and begin to change things around, brother. So we can no longer, basically stay in our Christian ghettos. And that's, you know, that's what happened in the Holocaust. It started with ghettos, right? They ghettoized the Jews. And once they did that, they were well on their way, you know, towards the Holocaust. And for whatever reason, and it's, you know, who did it first, you know, what came first? Did the church volunteer to be ghettoized? Did the government implement a plan to ghettoize the church? You know, there's a lot of different opinions about that, but the fact of the matter is, brother, we have to break out of the ghetto and our self-imposed exile, and we need to start getting involved. We need to engage our neighbors. We need to engage our communities and our culture. And once again, you know, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because, you know, he's the only one who can save us. And so we desperately need his intervention, and it's going to come through prayer, and it's going to come through obedience and faithful, godly action. to turn things around. So we got to, shake off the lethargy, the indolence, the indifference. We got to wake up, kind of smell the coffee, roll up our sleeves, and let's get to work. You know, we got a nation to rescue. We want a future and a hope for our kids. And we just got to look at it this way, Matt. Whatever form of Christianity that we've been practicing, obviously, it's not the biblical Christianity that God established in the book of Acts. And something has mightily changed, and it's not God and his word. And so let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to Jesus. Let's get back to being salt and light, and let's disciple our nation as God has commanded.
Rusty Thomas, Patriot Pastor of the Year, Operation Save America, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you. Keep up the fight, Pastor, and I hope we can see each other soon. I cannot make Boise, but let's talk offline. I really want to meet up with you again soon.
Now brother, let me just, did you seriously give me an award?
I seriously did, and we're going to get it to you. No joke. Serious.
Oh, brother. Listen, I'm really good at rejection. It's acceptance that scares me, buddy.
All right. Well, there.
But anyway.
Praise God.
Thank you so much for that, buddy.
We're supposed to honor and build one another up, and you certainly have earned it. So anyway, take care. God bless. And this is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio. Just thank you, everybody out there, for all the prayers and just the wonderful outpouring of support, especially over the last week. It's been just overwhelming. Been a fantastic week for me and for Victoria. May God bless all of you truly, and may he make this generation the greatest one, but that's going to require the church to get off the fence. Get out there and make it happen. Be blessed.